Would you take a Bible and join me in turning to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be reading and considering verses 10 through 20. If you don't have a Bible, want to use one of the pew Bibles that are provided there, you'll find Philippians 4, 10 through 20 on page 1250, 1250. Well, as Pastor Greg mentioned in his prayer before the time of offering, we have seen a living example of how God provides in our time of need. We have a God who has not only made all things, but a God who sustains all things, and a God who is the giver, the scripture says, a very good and perfect gift. Some of those gifts come in the form of people. People who are trained, prepared to help us in our time of need. I'm grateful that we have nurses and others in our congregation who are ready, at the ready, to help in this time of need. For those of you who don't know, Helen Catherine Zog has Parkinson's, and so this incident may be related to that. But in any case, whatever it is, we pray that she'll get the help that she does need. But God is faithful to provide. And we looked, as I referred to earlier in introducing Mark Prince and the idea of ministry teams. Last Sunday, we looked at the first chapter of Philippians and how a church is, in many respects, a gospel partnership. A partnership where we all have a role to play. All have responsibilities as well as privileges. This morning, we're going to look at another of God's gifts to us, which is money. And how we have a privilege and an opportunity, a responsibility, to use the money that God has given to us for gospel work, for gospel partnership. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, we find some principles, if you will, examples of both giving and receiving to the glory of God. So follow with me as I read those verses, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10 and reading through verse 20. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we look to you for help by your Spirit to teach us, to work in our lives and our hearts and minds, Lord, in ways that are needed at this time. Father, we pray for minds and hearts that are undistracted as your Spirit works during this time through your word to teach us and to help us to be good stewards of your material financial blessings upon us. Father, we pray that what we hear would truly be your word, not my words, but the word of the Lord from the Holy Scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we look at the specific examples of giving and receiving, I want to say a couple of preparatory things. The first is that if you're not a regular attender here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, this is not something preachers and churches have a reputation, sometimes earned, sometimes unearned, of all they do is talk about money, right? They just want money. I rarely do this, all right? I do it once a year because at the beginning of the year, I remind us of certain means that God has provided for our spiritual growth, certain things that God has called us to. That's why we looked at God's word and we looked at prayer and we looked at serving, and we cannot faithfully consider how God has called us to honor him if we don't consider one of the things that we deal with all the time. One of the things that is important in our lives, and that is our use of money. And, you know, the New Testament actually talks more about money than it does about prayer. Are you aware of that? And the focus is primarily on, it's somewhat on how we spend it, but primarily it's on how we give it or receive it. And so we're not a church who's just on and on and on. This is not an appeal for money at all. Okay. But the second thing that I want to say is that we need to understand, again, is the context of this, what we looked at last week. Last week in the first chapter, I mentioned earlier that we saw this gospel partnership. And there were three components of this partnership that we looked at in the first chapter. The partnership between the Apostle Paul as he went out, preached the gospel, and planted churches, and the church at Philippi, the Philippian Christians. The first was that this partnership involved many participants, right? Paul wrote this letter to all the saints in Philippi, not just the church leaders, not just a select few, but to all the saints. So he considered them all to be partners. The second thing we saw, that they had a common cause, and the common cause was the gospel, making disciples of all nations through the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. And the third aspect or component was a mutual affection that they had for one another. Paul loved these believers, and these believers loved him so much that they participated in his ministry even after he was gone from them. And all three of these are important for us to understand because they apply here. So that the giving, the financial support that Paul received was a result of many people participating. It was a result of the fact that they were committed to this common cause of getting the gospel out. And it was because they had a mutual affection for Paul as he did for them. And where any of those is lacking, giving and receiving will not be what God intends. If there are not many participating, there's going to be a shortage. If it's giving not for the common cause but for other things, then the work of the gospel will lack. And if there is not mutual affection there, then the giving will be get done, if at all, begrudgingly, half-heartedly. So we need to make sure that those components are in place. Having said that, we're going to look at, first of all, an example of receiving. And that is the example of the Apostle Paul. We see three things that characterize Paul as the recipient of a financial gift from the Philippians. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, "You have revived your concern for me and I rejoice." Now, for some reason, there was a period of time where he says they had no opportunity. We're not told why they didn't have an opportunity. We really don't know. But they had been regular participants in giving to Paul. And we'll talk more about that later. But first of all, notice Paul's example of receiving. First of all, Paul was contented with his circumstances, whatever they were. Paul's rejoicing over the gift wasn't because he was in especially great need. Not because he felt like he wasn't going to have his needs met if they didn't give. Notice what he writes. Paul writes, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So Paul was contented with his circumstances. His rejoicing at their giving was not because he desperately wanted more money. That wasn't it. The second thing we see was his confidence in and dependence on God. Paul trusted the Lord. Paul had been provided for again and again and again. Now, one of the means that Paul used, or that the Lord used to provide for Paul, was Paul's own working. We see again and again how Paul was a tent maker, and he would work as he preached the gospel to provide for his needs. He clearly teaches that it is good and desirable that those who are benefiting spiritually should give materially to those who are benefiting them. In other words, those who are preaching the gospel should make their living by the gospel. But Paul chose many of the times not to do that. And so the Lord provided for him, but Paul was confident that his God would provide for him. He says in verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How was he so confident that God would supply their needs? Because God had supplied his needs. God had amply supplied his needs. And Paul could say, he will also supply your needs as well. So Paul was content with his circumstances. He was confident in God's provision. And he was confident because God was the one who enabled him to be trusting and dependent. Notice that Paul writes, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, when we're trying to understand scripture, there's a saying, context is king. Okay? In other words, we need to understand what the Bible says in context. And this verse has been used many, many times in many, many ways by many, many Christians. And too often it's out of context. Now, certainly there is a general principle that God strengthens us and he's the one who enables us to do many things. But Paul didn't have in mind here scoring a touchdown or hitting a home run or doing 1,001 different things that are attributed to this verse. Paul was talking about learning to be content and confident in God's provision for himself, even in the direst of circumstances. Paul says, I can do this through him who strengthens me. The third thing that we see in Paul's example of receiving was not only his contentment with the circumstances, his confidence in God and his dependence on him, but his concern for the good of others. Paul understood something that Jesus taught. In Acts 20:35, as Paul is speaking to some of the elders of the church in Ephesus, Paul reminds them that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There is a blessing that goes with giving. And here in this passage, Paul says in verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. There is a spiritual blessing. There is spiritual fruit that comes to the lives of those who are generous to give to the Lord's work. Paul was content. He was confident. He was concerned for the good of others. I'm going to say more about that when we look at the example of giving, which we come to now. We see not only an example of receiving in the Apostle Paul, but we see an example of giving from the Philippians. There are four aspects of the Philippians' giving that we find in this passage. The first is they gave willingly. They gave willingly. Paul writes in verse 15, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." Paul planted several churches, quite a few in fact. And Paul says, none of the other churches partnered with me in this way. Does Paul have a word of chastisement for those churches? No. Because as I said earlier, Paul primarily was provided for through his own work. And so the Philippians did not give because they were obligated to give. They did not give because Paul demanded it. They gave willingly to the Apostle Paul, even as, again, Pastor Greg made reference to earlier. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth these words, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that's what these Philippians were. They were cheerful givers. They loved Paul. They loved the gospel. They loved being a part of that. So they gave willingly. But not only did they give willingly, they gave regularly, often. Paul writes, along with the word partnership in verse 15, which implies that this giving and receiving was something regular, he confirms this in verse 16. "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." In other words, it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a regular thing that they did. They gave often. They gave regularly. The third thing about their giving was they gave generously. They gave generously. Paul writes in verse 18, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." They gave willingly. They gave regularly. They gave generously. And then fourth, they gave sacrificially. In verse 18, Paul calls their giving a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, we might not realize just from that statement, because Paul's using spiritual metaphorical language there to refer to their giving, but this was indeed a sacrifice for these Christians. You see, again, in writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes this. "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their needs, of their own accord." Now, you may or may not know that Philippi was in Macedonia. So when Paul writes about the giving of the Macedonian Christians, he's talking about the Philippians, not just the Philippians, but he's talking about them. And how does he say they gave? Not out of their abundance, but out of their extreme poverty. It overflowed in a wealth of generosity. They gave according to the means and beyond their means. Again, of their own accord or willingly. Giving willingly, regularly, generously, and sacrificially has both spiritual and material benefits. Paul emphasized this when he wrote, again, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." And the reality is that giving, as the Lord Jesus says, is good for the giver as well as for the receiver. Pastor and author John MacArthur explains it this way. Paul could rejoice over the Philippians' gift, yet still be content in God's sovereign provision for him because he was selfless. That selflessness led him to write, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit or the fruit which increases to your account. Their gift brought Paul joy, not because of its personal material benefit to him, but because of its spiritual benefit to them. The principle that those who give generously will be blessed is taught repeatedly in Scripture. Solomon wrote, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want." The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. Later in Proverbs, he added, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." Proverbs 19, 17. "He who is generous will be blessed." Proverbs 22, 9. "And he who gives to the poor will never want." Proverbs 28, 27. In Luke 6, 38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Paul knew that the Philippians would not only receive spiritual blessings in heaven for their generosity, but also that God would supply all their physical needs in this life. The Philippians had sacrificially given of their earthly possessions to support God's servant Paul. In return, God would amply supply their needs. He would not be in their debt. Having sown bountifully, they would reap bountifully. Having honored the Lord from their wealth and from the first of all their produce, their barns would be filled with plenty and their vats would overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. So what are some of the spiritual benefits of giving? What are some of the blessings that the Philippians experienced and that we also will experience through giving? Well, first of all, giving willingly increases our joy and helps us reflect the character of our Heavenly Father, who freely and graciously gives all good things to His people and who gave the very best thing in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we give willingly, we are reflecting our Father. Giving regularly reminds us that all we have comes from and actually belongs to the Lord, which is a good thing. And that we are not owners, but we are managers, stewards, who are called to be faithful. Giving regularly reminds us that it all comes from the hand of God. Third, giving generously helps to deliver us from selfishness. Giving generously helps to deliver us from selfishness, which is one of our root sins. And fourth, giving sacrificially helps to fight covetousness and consumerism. In the 1960s, Jim Knupp was building apartments in the Bay Area around San Francisco. Apartments are cramped and usually do not have garages, and Mr. Knupp soon noticed that his renters were frustrated by the lack of space for all their stuff. This is 1960s. As he looked into the problem, Mr. Knupp said he realized it wasn't just renters that had too much stuff. In fact, most Americans were acquiring more possessions than their homes could ever hold. So in 1970, he purchased a small piece of land in Alameda and built California's first self-storage. People in California told Jim Knupp he was nuts. They said, "Who will ever pay money just to use a 10x10 shed to store stuff? Nobody has that much stuff," they said. In just a few weeks, he rented out all the units he owned. So he opened another in Berkeley, then San Pablo, Vallejo, San Leandro, Foster City, Colma, and Hayward. Soon, Mr. Knupp owned thousands of storage units up and down the California coast. He made millions simply giving people a place to store their stuff. In her 2016 book, Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff, Allison Stewart writes this. Self-storage has its own association and lobbying group because it is big business, generating more than $24 billion in revenues in 2014. The United States is home to reportedly 48,500 to 52,000 self-storage units. That's about 2.3 billion square feet of storage. It is a business that has been called recession-resistant by the Wall Street Journal. We sure like our stuff. See, we need a hedge. We need something to help us fight covetousness and consumerism. And giving willingly, regularly, generously, and sacrificially are spiritual blessings to us in that respect. So, let me ask you, can the examples of the Apostle Paul and the Philippians and giving and receiving, can they be examples for me, for you, for us? Can they be examples of being content with whatever circumstance we find ourselves in? That we learn to abound and we learn to suffer want. We learn to trust the Lord whether times are good or times are not so good. That we are content. Why? Because we're confident that we have a God who loves us, who promises to take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. And he's going to take care of us as well. Can they be an example to us of giving not to get, but to experience the spiritual blessings that come from being willing, regular, generous, and sacrificial givers? I praise God and I thank you that many of you do give in these ways. Many of you are willing, regular, generous, and probably some of you, sacrificial givers. First, to your church. And why wouldn't you give here first? Right? This is where you're being blessed. Spiritually. This is where you have the most at stake in promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I thank you. As one who directly benefits from this, I thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness in this area, to your giving to provide for the paid servants of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, for your giving to the various ministries, the support of the various ministries of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, and to the missions that are supported through your faithful giving. And on that note, you can still give to Lottie Moon today, all right? And I don't get a penny of that. That's not for me, all right? That goes to the mission field, all right? We're just a little bit under 18,000 towards our goal of 20. I'm not really all that concerned about hitting the goal. I just want you to know it'll do good. It'll go to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just let me say a truly heartfelt thank you for your faithfulness in this area. But there may be, probably are some, maybe a few of you, who are less than faithful in this area. What effect will God's word have on you in these areas? Will you let the Lord teach you through his word? Will you let him rebuke you and correct you as needed? Will you let him train you in righteousness, which these are all things that God's perfect inspired word is given to us to do, so that you can become thoroughly equipped for every good work, even this work? Will you give and receive in a manner that glorifies God? That's my hope. And that is my prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and grace to us. Father, although this world has been marred by sin, by not only the sin of Adam and Eve, but Lord, by our sin, Father, still, you're gracious to provide for us in so many ways. Lord, we do not give to pay you back. Lord, we could never do that. We certainly could never earn or pay for your free grace, your salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that that would be very clear to each and every one of us, Lord, that our acceptance with you, to be made right with you, to know that our sins are forgiven, we have a home in heaven, is totally based on your work, your gift to us of salvation through your Son, received by faith. But Father, we do have both the responsibility and the privilege of being partners in this great gospel enterprise. And so, Lord, I pray that as you have blessed us in so many ways, Lord, you have blessed us with the privilege of being part of this body of believers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a blessing with our money. Lord, I pray that you will encourage the faithful, convict the unfaithful, lead to repentance and greater trust in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.